I'm past the point of thinking that anybody coming up from AAA is going to make any big difference here. You have half a team that can't hit 180. You have half a team, 9 of the 18 batters who have stepped into the batter's box for this team this year are hitting under 180.
Come on, man. We're 3 losses away from setting a franchise record and longest losing streak in franchise history.
How does one guy hit under 180 and stick in the majors? Let alone half a team. Half a team.
Losing streak sitting at 10, kids. 10. Ouch.
Half of these guys are hitting under one. Austin Hedges, God love him. Great, real good defensive catcher. He's hitting 115.
It's the catcher. It's the manager's.
He's hitting 115.
But he's the manager's pick, Jeff. I mean, there's always a guy on a team that's a manager or a front office pick. I don't know if it's definitely Steve, but there's always one guy on the team that's like that. And to be honest with you, if it helps out in the clubhouse, I'm okay with it. But yeah, seriously, guys, could they not upgrade at the catcher's position? Is it that hard?
John Kenzie Rodriguez is hitting 146. Or is it Jonathan Noel? Each guy is hitting 146. They're both hitting 146. Oh, my God. David Fry seems like a great dude. Finally got his chance last year, made the All-Star team before he fell off the second half of the season, probably because of the elbow injury. I'm sorry. David is not a major league hitter right now. Send him to AAA and get somebody else in here to DH.
Especially because he can't play a position?
He can't throw.
I know.
So how can you DH a guy who's hitting 148?
Yeah, I don't see what the value is there. I agree with you.
I don't.
Unless he's going to hit over 300 or close to 300.
How about 250? 250.
Yeah.
Can he hit 250? and he seems like a great guy. I don't know, David. He seems like I've heard nothing but wonderful things about him. He's hitting 148. Get him out of here. Send him to AAA and let him find a swing. And if he can't find it, then move along. He's 29 years old. It's not like you're nurturing a young player and bringing him along. I don't understand why he's a DH. Do we want
the reality of this? Does anyone want the true reality of this?
If you know it, by God, share it.
And I'm not trying to be the...
You traded for Lane Thomas. Poor guy's injured. He's hitting 160.
Jeff, they're 17 days away from the Browns opening camp and having four quarterbacks in camp.
They're going to be...
And no one is going to care about
without
them.
Without question. It's time to see if they think anybody, and Chris Antonetti just said what it takes to bring these guys up. If they think anybody is ready, you're not going to ruin them by bringing them up and having them fail. I mean, you've got half a team that's doing that right now. Half of the guys who have hit for you this year are hitting below 174.
What stinks is if there was just one or two guys in the roster, you're like, okay, let's just stick it out. But you can't play that way. And unfortunately, you know, you may end up letting somebody go that has a fantastic career down the road. It just happens. You can't be afraid to make a mistake at this point.
I agree. Harold's in Cleveland. Harold, welcome to the show.
Harold.
Hey. Excuse me. I was having breakfast. I heard Antonetti talking out of both sides of his mouth that I wanted to throw the radio right across the room. What is with this guy and Dolan? All the lousy teams the Indians had in the 60s, they never lost more than 12 in a row, and these clowns are going to probably end up with a 15-game losing streak because of Antonetti and Dolan, and they're getting 30,000 crowds to watch this garbage, and nobody's going to show up eventually. Why? They got to the ALCS on Francona's team. Now they got nothing.
All right, Harold.
Well, vote did get him there last year.
Yeah.
The ALCS.
The weird thing
and
is...
In the 60s, they had 2 10-game losing streaks. 69-70 is the way it's written.
It's a losing streak.
In 69, they lost them.
They're losing games. I think it's bigger picture than looking at a 10-game losing streak.
Oh, it spanned over two
seasons.
You have
a team that can't hit. And it's not fielding well. I mean, those are two of the big three things in baseball. Pitching, really pretty good. the organization has to rethink the way that they're A, scouting hitters. It's my A-B thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously not scouting hitters very well because you're not bringing top-notch bats into the organization, apparently, because where are they?
Well, I just think the power play on bringing a middle infielder seems to have not, it's not there now.
Well, the middle infield thing is blown up. They have a bunch of them, and none of them are worthy of playing time. I mean, seriously, who are you going to play? Gabe Arias? I'd play Gabe. He's looked okay, but he's not hitting very well. Obviously, he's got to get healthy. Right?
Yes. Can we take a moment and thank the White Sox for just existing? Thank you, White Sox.
Tom's in Mentor. Tom.
Tom!
Hey guys. Unfortunately, I think they just got to cash it in this year and try to make a couple of deals where they could maybe bring in some more people, you know, younger guys, and build them up. But
agreed.
There's no way that this team's bouncing back. I mean, like you just said, Jeff, half the team's hit 170 or lower, and they've been in the lineup for quite some time. It's not like they've been in the lineup for a couple of weeks here. I mean, they've been playing all year.
Tom, you want me to make it worse? Of the 18 guys who have hit for this team this year, only three guys are hitting higher than 238. Think about that.
Yeah. Now I don't know what Gutierrez is doing in Toronto, and I don't think he's having a real great year himself.
You mean Jimenez?
Jimenez, I'm sorry. But I got to believe, man, that guy's glove alone probably won us half a dozen games last year, at least. And right now, they're throwing the ball all over the place. I mean, it's common. They look like the Bad News Bears. I mean, it's
yeah, they have
ridiculous.
The third worst fielding percentage in baseball, or in American League.
I've never seen him play like this. I mean, defensively, this bad, in it's got to be three or four decades, at least. Since the 80s.
And combine it with the hitting, Tom, and you have no chance to win.
No, they're done. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. I mean, it's a pretty much washed out season, and try to get what you can get, and maybe Bieber comes back next year, like you guys were saying, and try to keep the pitching still intact, because that's the only thing that's really giving you any hope for a future, you know, for the future. But They got to get bats, man. And not just one bat or two bats. They need several.
They
bats.
They need about five. They need about five bats.
Tom. Yeah. And they need to bring their gloves with.
Yeah, that's true. They do need to bring gloves.
Tom, thank you very much.
Hey, Dan, what's your drop-dead number in the wild card race to say, okay, it's over? Do you have a drop-dead number there, kind of?
No, because you get three teams in now. So I think when you start hitting double digits, maybe. But even that wild card is just, I mean, for lack of better terminology, it's wild. But I mean, you legitimately have three teams that can find their way in.
Still, they're
and at any point, guys can just tank out.
But guys, have you seen anything from the offense of this team that makes you think that they can catch up in the wild card?
And no, not really.
You're seven games out. That in and of itself is tough.
With five teams to hop.
That's the catch, Andy. I see, that's the thing. The idea of catching up seven games.
It's actually six.
And hopping five other teams. Six, because it's who the Yankees need, right now.
Well, no, to get that Seattle's got the last spot.
To get that
right
spot,
now.
You've got to hop six teams.
Yeah.
That combination I don't think is possible for this team. And I'm not going to say I'm okay with it, but that to me is just like, okay, you need to go ahead and change things up. And it's not worked out. Admit it, that it hasn't worked out. And if somebody wants David Fry, great. You can trade David. But who's going to trade for a guy who can't play a position and is only a DH and is hitting under 150? That's not happening. Who's going to trade for Lane Thomas? A guy who, if he was healthy, you'd keep. Except he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, which means you might move him anyway. If he was healthy, you might sign him. But he's not hitting. And he's injured. You're not going to get anything for him. And you've got Carlos Santana. Who's going to give you a whole lot for a guy who's, you know, 40 and hitting okay? Whatever you can get, you got to, I mean, Emmanuel Clase.
I smell middle of the road AA player.
Emmanuel Clase?
Which, by the way, wasn't that what he was when we originally got him?
I think he was lower than that.
When that was a trade. It was Casey Blake, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The first time we got him.
Would you move Emmanuel Clase? Absolutely. I would. I think you have shown that you can develop bullpen arms to the point where you'll find somebody else to be a closer, whether it's Gattis, whether it's Cade Smith. If you could trade Clase, and I don't want to trade him, but to an organization that thinks they have a chance to win it all this year, I saw a trade team that said it was an ESPN thing, what every team should do at the trade deadline. And it said the Guardians should trade Emmanuel Clase. And it said the Philadelphia Phillies should trade for Emmanuel Clase. If you could get two close to major league ready bats for Emmanuel Clase, you got to do that. I mean, what good is a closer doing you right now?
You don't need him.
Well, he's not doing anything for you.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything for you. Jeff's in Massillon. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Very, very interesting. And it is a Guardians therapy Monday, yeah, for sure.
But, amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Jeff, you're spot on. I mean, your last comment about Clase, here's my thing about that is, so we get two guys that are close to major league ready. Do we have the coaching staff to continue to develop a hitter? We don't have a very good track record. I mean, whatever happened to Oscar Gonzalez? What happened to, John Kenzie? I mean, none of these guys became, major league power hitters, but when they came up, they sure looked the part.
Yes, that's a great point, Jeff.
I mean, that's a question I've got right now, and I'm all for moving Clase, and I was really for it until I saw Cade Smith blow up yesterday, but that's not his track record.
No.
But, the other thing that disturbs me is I sit here and I look at a guy like Jose Ramirez, who gave this town or gave this team and organization a huge discount to stay here, and he's got nothing to show for it at this point. And that just irritates me that if I feel like they're taking advantage of this guy and they're not building a team around him, Dolan better start investing in the team, because one of your previous callers, and I think Andy said it, the Browns are right around the corner and nobody's going to show up. They got to stop putting beer gardens and ice cream stands and burrito, bowls together and start putting a team together.
Well, Jeff, the other part about it, though, and sometimes I think we forget about this, there's an option to buy for David Blitzer and Matt Collin coming up in 2028. So let's see what happens. And I wonder
that's a
how
lot
much,
of baseball between now and then. Andy.
I know, but it's also.
I mean, that's this season and two more.
Who knows? Would John Sherman have had the team by now?
Who knows?